You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Vaccination. Many physicians and public health scientists view it as the greatest development in modern medicine. And that certainly is the viewpoint of University of Michigan pediatric residents, Drs. Phoebe Day Danziger and Rebecca Diamond. They found themselves trying to work with and reason with parents who refused to have their children vaccinated. And the doctors wondered, why do we allow anti-vaccine parents to expose their kids and the rest of society to diseases which should have been wiped out? And they wonder, is it time to make vaccination mandatory? These are among the questions the doctors pose in a piece they co-authored for Slate last week called The Vaccination Double Standard. Drs. Phoebe Day Danziger and Rebecca Diamond are here with us. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Before we get into your thoughts about the vaccination double standard, I want to talk about vaccinations. Is there any solid peer-reviewed medical evidence, anything that has not been debunked or discredited, that would indicate that there could be any danger or any risk in getting vaccinated, Phoebe?
You know, as we discussed in our article, a lot of the claims and concerns that have been raised have been really thoroughly investigated. And, you know, as we say in the piece, they've really been asked and answered. As a field, we've looked at a lot of these concerns and, you know, studied millions and millions of children over many decades and really found that, you know, these fears are simply unfounded.
Rebecca, what are the known risks to babies and children that would be associated with the main vaccinations, for instance, mm-hmm. that schools want to see?
Yeah. So nothing is risk-free. Everything has risks and benefits, but the benefits of vaccination far outweigh the risks of vaccination. So we always like to just preface everything with that in case anyone thinks we're asking for 100% perfect treatment in any sort of medical field. The major risks are a little bit of fever a few days after the vaccine, some pain at the injection site, maybe a 1 in 100 million risk of serious allergic reaction that would be treated at the physician's office. And that's pretty much it as far as the literature shows.
And you both believe, because you said it in your piece for Slate, that vaccinations are arguably the very greatest invention of modern medicine.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We were saying, aside from the introduction of safe, clean water supply, mm-hmm. we can't really think of anything else yeah. that's had this profound of an impact on child health and population health.
What is this vaccination double standard, Rebecca?
Vaccinations are universally thought to be one of the most amazing inventions in modern medicine. And there is a group of people who, for whatever series of reasons, partially because of certain interest groups that have exploited very caring parents, that have decided vaccinations are unsafe. And we have, as a society, have allowed this group of people to not vaccinate their children. To really understand this argument, you need to take a step back and ask yourself the question, do children have rights in our society? Are there protections that we have enacted for our children? And the answer is yes. We have set limits to care and how it can be provided from parents, and we have set certain rules of how parents should care for their children, and it should include things like clean drinking water, vaccination, proper medication, access to health care, seatbelts, all of these things, education, and it does include all of those things except for vaccinations.
As pediatricians, we always strive for joint decision-making with families. But like Rebecca was saying, there are plenty of other preventive measures like car seats that mm-hmm. we say are, you know, just important enough that parents can't simply choose to opt out of those. You know, adults, we say, have the right to decline the medical standard of care for themselves. But when it comes to their children who can't advocate for themselves, we've decided as a society that they simply don't have the right to opt out for their children when it means exposing them and leaving them potentially vulnerable to harm.
Now, in your piece for Slate, you say, and these were your words, we kowtow to parents who oppose vaccination. And I'm going to quote here, these parents almost always come from privilege and they are almost never punished for their actions. You believe this is at least partially informed. And again, I'll quote you here, by the fact that they are, by and large, white, educated, and affluent. How do you know this?
There's been personal experience that we've seen, but there's also been some studies that we cited in the article that look at the demographics of the anti-vaccine movement.
Because there was one physician who commented on your piece in Slate, and he or she supports vaccination, believes that anti-vaccination weakens herd immunity, but made the comment that thought your comments about race were baseless and that felt it was inappropriate to introduce race without supportive evidence. But you're saying the evidence is there.
Yeah, the evidence is there. There have been a number of studies, as Rebecca said, looking at just the demographics of who are the vaccine refusers, who are the vaccine skeptics, and by and large, they are white, affluent, privileged.
And you talk in your piece about the double standard you see as far as something that you feel is systemic racism and classism here.
You know, and I would say just that even in our brief experience as physicians, we've seen plenty of action taken against families who are exposing their children to far less risk than parents who are choosing not to vaccinate their children and making them vulnerable to serious illness. And yet we don't do anything about it.
You actually opened the piece by talking about a case where you found out that Child Protective Services had stepped in the case of a single mother. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, this is a common thing that we've seen, and I worry that we get a little too far off the point here of protecting the unvaccinated children, but the discrepancy in how we care for and protect children is systemic. I think there's no question about that. I've seen it in my personal experience. My physician peers have seen it. It's been written about extensively about how there are worse healthcare outcomes for the poor, for the minorities. This is a fact, and for the anti-vaccine movement to focus on personal liberties and fair healthcare is a little bit misguided because that is actually happening in our society, but that's not what the anti-vaccine movement is focused on.
I'm speaking with University of Michigan pediatric residents, Drs. Phoebe Day Danziger and Rebecca Diamond, who wrote a piece in Slate titled The Vaccination Double Standard. Where do you feel that the anti-vaccination movement began and also got so deeply rooted in the sense that people are so passionate about that?
It has been sort of a multifactorial rise over the past few decades. I think that it draws on different threads that we're seeing sort of emerge more strongly in our society and culture today, drawing on what I think is some valid skepticism of the historical practices in medicine that were deeply paternalistic and not patient-centered at all, and then, you know, skepticism towards some of the larger regulatory agencies and the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, again, I think a lot of this is founded in sort of valid criticism and good intentions, but that it has taken off and become distorted.
And you commented on something I wanted to ask you about, and you wrote about in your piece, the concept of patient-centered care. You say it's good in theory, but risky in practice. Exactly what is that concept of patient-centered care, Rebecca?
I can't emphasize enough that working with patients, working with families, that is our favorite part of our job. And the ideal of patient-centered care is, you know, is not a dangerous thing. It's a wonderful thing. What happens is when we in our society don't truly understand what the partnership between patients and physicians and families and physicians is going to be, and instead create this almost adversarial position of patient desires versus physician recommendations, that's what becomes dangerous. It's not the working together for patient goals, but the idea that, well, I have this fear. I read this in an article. I'm right. You're wrong as a physician. And it really just becomes a divide. That is what's dangerous.
You say in your piece that you really do believe that we society, and therefore I guess you mean the government, should take the vaccination decision out of parents' hands and make it mandatory. Are you saying this is the same way that we don't let people decide whether or not to have a child in a safety seat?
We knew that the call to mandate vaccines would be controversial, but the fact is that California has already moved forward with mandating vaccines, and even Michigan has, you know, recently implemented stronger barriers to personal belief exemptions. And what worries me is that these types of strong policies are really the exception when you look at it on a national level. The medical and public health communities have become too complacent in accepting vaccine refusal for children as a matter of personal belief. You know, and I think we're not upholding the obligation to advocate for the best interest of children.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are some really important topics here, patient-centered care and the idea of personal liberties versus our societal obligation, the idea of herd immunity, protecting other people's children. These are all wonderful, important things to talk about. But in the meantime, the children of unvaccinating parents, they're the ones who are suffering. We are here advocating for those unvaccinated children. That is the novel approach that we are taking here, is that we're not talking about other people's children. We are talking about these children. This is not radical. It's novel, but it's not radical because as a society, we have decided that children have human rights and they have the right to health, happiness, basic medical care. We've already created a medical framework. We're not asking for a new implementation of that. We're asking for more honesty about that framework. We're hoping that the existing medical framework will encompass the greatest medical invention, which is vaccination, in addition to other minor medical interventions that it already does encompass.
Phoebe, you're a mom, so you have these two viewpoints. Do you ever find yourself as a mom at odds with yourself as a pediatrician when it comes to health choices for your kids?
Sure. You know, as the mother of three girls, I would say there are certainly a lot of scary things in the world today, from gun violence to environmental pollution to unregulated chemicals in various products. And, you know, I just think vaccines are just not one of the scary things to me. It's really distressing, the idea that we are potentially returning to a time when infants and children were routinely, you know, seriously harmed and even died from these vaccine-preventable illnesses. You know, I think for me as a mother, I feel so grateful that we have such safe and effective ways of preventing these things. And so my worries as a mother really lie elsewhere.
Rebecca, what's been the reaction to your piece in Slate?
There's been a lot of positive reaction, and I'm very pleased with that. I think the community, especially the medical community, has been, you know, very accepting. Sometimes it seems like the focus is still more on the herd immunity aspect and the public health. And I'm so grateful for that and for the people who are proponents of public health. But again, trying to steer this argument towards the protection of the unvaccinated children, I think gives us more ground, works within an established framework that we've created as society. Of course, there's been a negative reaction from those who really strongly oppose vaccination, and that was to be expected.
And we are going to hear from those people, the ones who are vehemently opposed to having their children vaccinated, and they will cite studies and anecdotes. What do you make? I'll ask you this, Phoebe, first. What do you make of that extremely strong reaction from people who are anti-vaccination?
Most of the parents that we've worked with who are hesitant about vaccines or refuse vaccines are really coming from a good, well-meaning place. They want to do what's best for their children. And there are all these fears and misconceptions out there about dangerous side effects of vaccines and, you know, about vaccines being hugely profitable for doctors and the pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, all of these claims have been debunked, but, you know, that doesn't seem to translate to any reassurance for these parents who, you know, I think for the most part are trying to do what's best for their children.
And so is the pediatrician, which leads to that odd feeling, Rebecca,
right,
of feeling like you're on opposite sides of the team instead of together on the same team.
Which is really a sad experience, you know, for the family and for the physician. I mean, we went into pediatrics not to tell families what to do, but to help families and really help these children thrive. And to have a parent who's so well-meaning and loves their child so much, and then all we want to do is use our medical knowledge to help that child, it feels terrible. And it feels like I would love to have people really understand that there clearly is another interest group, or there's some other group out there that's making that happen, because it's not a natural relationship, this dichotomy between physician and parent. And it really does get in the way of patient care.
Dr. Phoebe Day Danziger and Dr. Rebecca Diamond are pediatric residents at the University of Michigan. Their co-authored piece at Slate.com is titled The Vaccination Double Standard. It was great to have you in with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Today's Stateside was directed by Ellie Billings and engineered by Tony Brown. I'm Cynthia Canty. Thank you so much for listening.